Welcome to A Journey of Transformation Empowerment. You're listening to Antonio T. Smith, Jr., where ideas ignite, change, and possibilities are endless. Before we dive into today's episode, we have something special for our listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by a groundbreaking book that's reshaping the conversation around Black economic empowerment. It's Resegregation, Volume 1,
The Power Matrix,
a master plan for Black group economics with wealth creation, authored by visionary Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Antonio isn't just an author. He's a former top-secret combat special operations intelligence sergeant turned millionaire. His life work championed the economic autonomy and wealth creation within Black communities. In this seminal work, dedicated to teachings of Dr. Claude Anderson, Antonio outlines a comprehensive blueprint covering critical sectors like finance, technology, manufacturing, and more. He blends military discipline with acute understanding of systematic disparity. This isn't just a book. It's a movement, a call to action to create lasting wealth and reshaping the economic narrative. Antonio's vision is clear: drive a significant shift toward Black ownership and control. Listeners, if you've ever wondered about innovative strategies for wealth creation or how technological transformation can uplift the Black communities, then this book is for you. Join Antonio Smith, Jr. on the transformative journey. Pick up your copy of the Resegregation Volume 1, The Power Matrix, today, and be a part of the reshaping future. Now, let's dive into the episode and explore the possibilities that await us.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Well, folks, Antonio T. Smith Jr. is doing it again.
He's done it again.
Yes, he has. Giving away so much knowledge just to help you succeed, walk out of the middle class, become a multimillionaire. He is giving away his book just for you.
The name of that book, The Richest Man in the Trash Can. You want to make sure you get this book. Here's why.
If you are someone who is tired, frustrated, irritated of the day-to-day schedule of waking up, going to work, going back home, going to sleep just to do it all over again, not being able to spend time with your family, you just got married, you just had kids, or you take care of your parents and you're not there to do it, this is the book for you.
And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? This book is free 99. Yes, you heard me. Free 99. Yes? All you us for free.
Yes. Free 99. All you have to do is just pay shipping and handling.
That's it.
$9.95 just to get your free book. This book is a life changer. I'm trying to tell you guys, everything in this book is what Antonio taught myself and Grace that enabled us to retire. Yes, we are retired and we haven't even hit our 40s yet.
Woo!
I'm just saying.
I got a few months to go. Don't worry about it.
Shh. Don't nobody need to know that, girl. You don't look it.
That's it.
Go get it. Go get it and walk yourself out of the middle class into the life you deserve. Walk yourself into abundance. Abundance is freedom, and this book is your journey out.
You can plant better.
You can dominate.
Pump it up. Pump it up. Scream. All right, there we go. There we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here. The Bureau of Dominant Speakers. We're getting ready to get regaled by the wonderful Adonia Dixon. Before I tell you about her, just know that she is someone who looks like a keynote slayer right now. As usual, I want to thank all of you for showing up, as always, because there is a ministry in being present, and that we are grateful for that. It makes everything cool. Phil and Susan are getting ready to do some observations, give out some tips as well. And as of lately, what I've been doing for the last month and a half, I'm not going to say much. They're going to take it away. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my esteemed pleasure. There is one. She has a first name that starts with an A, a last name that starts with a D. It's Adonia Dixon. She's a human resource influencer who assists aspiring and emerging leaders. She has 14 years of experience in HR, has supported, managed leaders in small private sectors, nonprofit, multi-million dollar, and even Fortune 500 companies. In addition to leadership development, Adonia gets pleasure and inspire others in planting seeds of hope. She's spoken to youth in juvenile detention centers and forgiving themselves and believing that they have what it takes to create an amazing life. Adonia first earned her bachelor's degree in business management from the University of Phoenix and is a Les Brown certified speaker and a Bureau of Dominant Speakers certified speaker. She is the current president of her local Toastmasters Club and enjoys learning and growing every day. Her most recent undertakings are obtaining her John Maxwell certification in August 2019, and as aforementioned, becoming a member, a certified member of the Bureau of Dominant Speakers and the ATS Business University. Adonia is currently writing a book about how she overcame life-threatening self-doubt and will walk you through the journey and how you can triumph too. Her whole life purpose is to positively impact, inspire, help, and improve lives of every person she crosses paths. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I would love to present to you California's very own president of all of Toastmasters, Adonia Dixon.
Good evening. Can you guys hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Yes? No? All right. Fabulous. All right. So, my people, good evening. Imagine what you'd be or accomplish with a little extra effort. Where could you go? What could you change, create, or build with a little extra effort? You might own a home, buy a new car, find the love of your life, make money, start a business, write a book. Oxford Dictionary defines effort as a vigorous, determined attempt or the use of physical or mental effort. Tonight, I would like to invite you on a journey of possibilities. Will you come with me? Each year, we set goals and even fall prey to New Year's resolutions. However, they say less than 25% stay committed to their goals in just 30 days. And only 8% actually complete them. Now, my goal tonight is not only to inspire you, but to encourage you that the time is now for you to put a little effort into your extra. My friend invited me to go to a meeting, and that meeting was sponsored by the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. Reluctantly, I attended that meeting. We walked into the room and was immediately addressed with friendly faces and a lot of thoughtful and happy people. We chose to sit in the front row. I was hesitant, not sure why at the meeting. However, the meeting did begin, and it began with a video. And that video explained what the organization's goal was, and that was to raise funds to help fight cancer. The video popped up, and there were families being interviewed, families who have lost loved ones, and families who had loved ones that were still suffering through the disease. If that wasn't enough, there were children who had lost their hair that were sitting hoops through their bodies as they were being treated for cancer. That, ladies and gentlemen, was quite emotional for me, but still wasn't sure why I was there. Then a young lady stood up and said, "Welcome to the meeting. We are here on a mission to fight cancer. Will you join us?" And I'm still asking, what are we joining? We are an organization that fights cancers, and what we engage in and sponsor a lot of various activities that helps us fundraise. And we need your help. As a result, I'm now clicking in because I'm thinking there's a pitch going on here. And there was, and that pitch was, we would like to invite you to be a part of one of our races. And you can choose, it could be a swimming, it could be a running, it could be whatever you choose. And I do like to walk, so I thought, I'll listen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, before the night was over, I found myself walking out with a packet in my hand for a $1,500 fundraising commitment. Oh. But that's not all. The commitment says I was going to join in a marathon. Let's get it straight, not a runner. The marathon was going to happen and take place in the beautiful city of San Diego, California. My only role at that point was to train for 4 months and learn how to run this marathon. And I had to make this decision. I could do that. Why did I think I can do that? Well, they gave you various options. One of the options was you could join and do a half a marathon. You could do a full marathon. And I thought, I do like to walk. And when I was a child, way back when, they had fundraisers for the schools, and the kids would go knocking on doors for walkathons. And what they would do is they would get sponsors, and they'd be able to invite them to bid on however many miles they can walk, whether it be 5 cents, 50 cents, or a dollar. And that's how the kids won their. And the bottom line is, what would happen is, for each mile that child walked, they get that dollar that person had sponsored them for. So I thought, I do walk. I'm going to do a half marathon, which, by the way, is 13.1 mile. I'm going to give it a try. Worst case is, I don't make it. The first choice, they wanted to put us in teams. And the way they decided how the teams is, they wanted to find out if it took us to run 1 mile. Each of us, and then they grouped us together. So if you ran it in 8 minutes, you were in the 8-minute group, 9 minutes, 10 minutes, and so forth. though I'm not going to tell you exactly what group I was in, let's just say it was kind of towards the back. We trained with the groups, and what they did is they made the decision that each week there will be several different locations where you can actually train. They trained you how to eat what, right? They trained you how to exercise. They trained you how to stretch before and after your run. We ran in a lot of beautiful places, in all kinds of recreational facilities. It was really an exciting moment because, again, I'm on practice committed to $1,500 to run a half a marathon. One of those occasions when we were practicing and we were training, a young lady caught up with me and she said, "Hey, which event are you participating in?" And I said, "The San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon." The Rock and Roll Marathon was set up where there were every stage throughout the event, there were a lot of musicians from rock and roll to R&B, and I was like, okay, I could do that, right? I could do that. So I was excited about being able to have that opportunity to go to San Diego. And I told her I was running the half marathon, and she glanced over and said, "No, San Diego is not a half marathon, it's a full." And I said, "Nah, I didn't sign up for a full. Even though I know they had that option, I signed up for the half marathon." And she said, "No, San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon was a full marathon. A full marathon, my friends, 26.2 miles. And I was like, okay, I'm withdrawing. I'm not doing that. I'm not a runner. I can't do that. So I got home, I looked at the paperwork and the contract that I signed, and guess what? I was going to withdraw, but I couldn't. Why couldn't I? I missed the time to withdraw by 3 days. As a result, I was on the hook for $1,500 regardless if I ran or not. I said, okay, all right, I made the commitment. I'm gonna go ahead and run. I'm not gonna make it, 26.2 miles. Again, let's get it straight. I'm not a runner. I continue to run at the practices and stretch. And I was trying strategy. At what point do I think I'm going to exit? Will I attempt to at least do 13.1 and then stop? I wasn't sure. Didn't quite know, but I knew I was not going to run 26.2 miles. Now, the excitement, because we are now on our way to San Diego. And we get there, and we were greeted with the reception. And the reception was a lot of camaraderie and people from all over the world. And then I had a light bulb moment. This wasn't a walk-a-thon style marathon. This was a competition. This was a real marathon. How did I know? Because when I got there, I saw people from Canada. I saw people that had Kenya across their shirt. Just in case you didn't know, Kenya is an African continent, and they are instrumental and most often will win any type of event that requires them to run. And I knew at that point, I'm not even going. I'm a fake sickness. I'm gonna say my stomach hurts. I've done that. These people were running for money, for cash and awards. And here I am, signing up for a $1,500 fundraiser requirement. So that night, after all the festivities, I went to sleep. Well, finally, I went to bed. I never went to sleep. Lucky to have gotten 2 to 3 hours potentially. And then the alarm rang, and it was 4 o'clock. We were required to get up, get dressed, get ready, and be out on the grounds by 4:45. My stomach churned, my heart was palpitating, and again, I'm making my exit strategy because I'm not running a full marathon. We get out there, there's a lot of music playing, people stretching, people doing yoga, and then I thought, okay, I'm still going to start the race. I have no intentions on completing the race. After all, I'm not a runner. The noise started, the clock started ticking, and all of a sudden, bam, bam, it was time to run. We started running. And what I trained to not only run, but to walk. And what they did is based on the number of minutes we ran, we would run 8 minutes, we would walk 3, and so on and so forth. I already decided I'm not even doing that. I'm going to run until I'm tired, and I'm going to walk when I'm tired. I'm going to run, and I'm going to walk. I'm going to run, and I'm going to walk. We get out there, you get on the street, we ran past the starting line, and there was millions and millions of people in the street. They were wearing shirts and cheering. They had pictures of people to their cancers. They were telling us, thank you for supporting Cancer Society. Thank you for being out here. Thank you for running for our loved ones. Then I got a little adrenaline, and so I started running, and I continued to run, and I continued to run, and I got past mile one. And I said, okay, got past mile one. Let me see if I can get past 3. Now, mind you, I only had 3 hours of sleep. So I was tired. Then I ran a little bit more. Then I walked. And then I ran. And then I walked. And then I ran. And then I started walking a whole lot more than I was running. So again, I had no intentions on finishing a 26.2-mile marathon. Hands were playing, and then I got my little groove going again. I learned an exercise, and guess what? I continued running. Then all of a sudden, I saw mile marker 3, mile marker 4, mile marker 5. And I was like, wow, maybe I might even make it to the halfway mark. But I still got to figure out what my exit strategy is. And I continued to run, and I continued to walk, and I continued to run. Then I saw mile 8, 7 and 8, 9. And then I thought, I think I'm going to get to my 13.1 until I stopped. And I looked up, and what was in front of me was this big hill. There was no way in heck I was running up that hill. Then I decided, what am I going to do? Should I just end it here, or should I try to go up the hill? Meanwhile, people were running past me, and people were cheering them and saying, you can do it, you can do it. And I look over, and the little girl was, you can do it, clapping hands, sitting in a stroller. And if this kid is telling me that I can do it, I need to try to do it. So I began slowly walking up the hill. And I started walking, and I started walking, and I started walking. And then all of a sudden, knees buckling, my thighs, my hips, they were furiously on fire. And I thought, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And then I started breathing harder. And I started breathing harder. And I started breathing harder. And I started breathing harder. But I was still managing to get up that hill. I continued walking. I continued walking. I continued walking. Yeah, no, I didn't run. Yeah, no, I'm walking. Yeah, I'm saying it right. I walked and walked and walked. And I got to the top. And man, was I glad I did. Because when I got to the top and that hill started to decline, I was now faced with the beautiful blue Pacific Ocean. That gave me a little bit more incentive. I think maybe I'm going to make it to 13.1. So I'm going to get to that halfway mark, and then I'm going to split. I'm going to get out of there. And I did. I got to 10 miles. I got to 11 miles. I got to 12 miles. And just as I was getting to the 13.1 mile, I thought, I might be able to do this after all. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to list a little, and I'll make that decision of what my next step was going to be when I hit that 13-mile marker. And sure enough, I hit the 13-mile marker. Now what am I going to do? So I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And smart me, I made the decision. Let me go this one more. And then when I made that one more, which got me to number 14, I had an epiphany. One of the rules of this marathon was, pay attention to the clocks that were located at every other mark. And the reason and the importance of that is, if you're hitting those marks by a certain time frame, the chances of you completing the marathon were zero. And if you were unable to complete the marathon, what they did and was going to do is get a van, and they were going to start picking people up and putting them in the van at the end of the marathon and said, you're not going to finish, and you're going to get on the bus. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not getting on nobody's bus. So now what's my dilemma? Am I going to wait for the bus to come get me, or am I going to walk? Oh, you bet it, Skippy. I decided I was on, continue going. And I ran. That now became my incentive. I'm not getting on nobody's bus. That's failure. That's, I punked out. That's, I gave up. I'm not getting on that bus. So what did I do? I got a little extra adrenaline. I walked past me and I started jogging really slow, really slow. And then I heard some music and got my little hip shaking and I started going a little faster and I started going a little faster and I started going a little faster. Then I took a walk, then I started running. Then I took a walk, then I started running. And guess what? I got to mile 15, mile 16. I got to mile 17 and I got to mile 18. I was still tired. I was still tired. I was still tired, but I was on track. And I said, what? Is it possible that I actually might get to 26.2 miles? Wasn't sure. I was getting on that bus and I kept going and I kept going. And then 18 and 19 showed up. And then mile 20 showed up. 21 showed up. And then I said, I can't do it. I'm tired. I'm tired again. And I look behind me, but I ain't getting on that bus. I'm not getting on that bus. So I kept going. And I kept going. And I let the music keep calling me forward. And the music called me forward. And the people cheering and pom-pom had in their hands kept me going. And I went 22. I went 23. And then when I hit 12, I was like, oh, I got this. So then I got a little cocky. So I started running a little bit more. Then I got a pain in my leg. And so I'm kind of limping a little bit. It was a mess. But I wasn't stopping because I'm not getting on that bus. So what did I do? I kept going and I walked and then I was able to get a little jog back and I walked and I was able to get a little jog back. At that point, I saw the 25 mile marker. I had 1.2 miles to go and you know I was going to do it. So I got a little energy and I ran, walked, and I ran and I walked and I ran and I walked. And then all of a sudden, I'm back at the park. And as I turned the corner, I saw the finish line. I started running like I had to do the whole marathon. Now, we ain't going to talk about my time, but I was running and I was running and I was running. And guess what? I got across that finish line 26.2 miles. People, mountains are climbed and dreams are accomplished. Even lives are saved with just a little extra effort. I'd like to share with you my journey with ATS. I made a decision knowing I'm an overwhelmed person. Why am I overwhelmed? Because I jump into everything. I have tons and tons and tons of groups that I've been in. I have bought many people's programs and courses and so on and so forth. And then I get this wonderful invite from the ATS teams. And I'm like, I can't do that. And then I'm the Toastmasters president, and it was just too much. Then who got on the phone? The boss man. Didn't say much other than, just try it. Just try it. I'll let you try it. I'll let you try it. You don't need to pay for it. Try it first. Just try it. He gave me a particular, specific period of time to try it. And then I thought, but how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? So I started thinking again, I got to do something different. It's going to require that I do something different. What is that going to possibly be? Well, I had to make a change. So what did I do? A little effort, little extra effort required of me. How am I going to do this? Well, let me just tell you a little bit about how I get up every morning. I wake up at 5:30. I'm out of the house at 7, and I'm barely in the house back at 7. So I'm gone 12 hours. I might get 5 hours of sleep. So what is that, about 18 hours? So what does that give me? Maybe 6 hours to put all this other stuff in? How am I going to do that? I needed to figure it out. So I thought about what my routine, what could I change in my routine? Well, one of the things is you turn the TV on, and I didn't turn it on because I was watching some crazy, you know, crazy stuff. What I was doing is looking for the news of the day and looking for traffic, because in California, you're going to be in some traffic. That's what I was looking at. And then you get on, you get some crazy political stuff, and they're like, why am I watching this? So my decision was, perhaps, what if when I woke up, what if I logged on to ATS and used that preparation time to go to work to actually complete my courses? Then I thought, well, I can't do that. Then I have to pull out my computer or my or something of that nature. And then all of a sudden, yes, people, I'm not very technical. I'm technically challenged. Okay. I didn't even think about, well, you got a phone. I didn't think I don't know. Don't, I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know why I didn't think I, something told me maybe I could. And I went on the internet and I said, well, if I have the email, the link, potentially I can do so. And lo and behold, I was able to log on. So I logged on and oh my goodness, I thought I could do this. So the first little extra effort that I took was my morning routine totally changed. So when I wake up in the morning now, I'm in ATS University. Now, that's only going to give me an hour or so. Then I got into my car, ATS University on wheels. Instead of listening to the radio and grooving, they were grooving too, I turned on ATS. I got to work. Now, work is a little challenging for me, so I knew there wasn't going to be a whole lot of time to be able to do it at the ATS University stuff at the job, but every day. I take 30 minutes out of my day to de-stress, and I do that by walking. And usually when I walk, I listen to maybe some music or I listen to something motivational on YouTube, anything from Brian Tracy, Jack, John Maxwell, whomever, anything that will keep me in a motivated and a positive state. Then I stop ATS University. So now when I walk, guess who's in my ear? ATS University, and I would complete my courses. I am standing for you right now, and I'm proud to say that that small little extra effort has graduated me past the freshman courses, and now I'm a sophomore. I am telling you, with a little extra effort, there are many, many things that you can complete and have done. So if you got that paper and you wrote down all the goals you have, no more excuses. I'm challenging you, no more excuses. What little extra effort? I made two or three different changes, just two or three different changes, and I was able to see progress. No more excuses, my fellow friends and masters. You have got to find a way, because there is a way. Perhaps you're not asking the right question. So again, I ask you, what little extra effort can you put forth in your daily routine to get you where you say you want to go? Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to end with this quote. It's one of my favorite John Maxwell says, achievers do what others won't and pay the price that others don't. So I ask you, what price are you willing to pay to be an achiever? You ready? If you are, then I will say, ready, set, go. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Good. And she finished at 24:28. You can write that down real quick. Come on, y'all, give it a round of applause. Let me get your mic. Give it a round of applause. Yes. Okay. Two things I'm going to say, and I'm going to move out the way for the peers, and then Phil and Susan. Adonia, you were breaking up a lot. And the thing is, don't worry, you weren't dinged for it, because you're not a internet provider. Right? So it's okay. And well, I guess I'll say three things, but we understood everything, right? That is how well your oral presentation was. Okay? And this is the process. In fact, let's pause real quick, Adonia. I want you to receive that in the breaking up, we understood everything you said and enjoyed it. I know you're a perfectionist or something like what. Did we love it? Yeah. Come on. Right? See? Good stuff. So that's one thing. Don't worry about that. None of you are going to be dinged for that ever. This is not that platform. You understand what I'm saying? That's not something you always have control over. We're here to be dominant speakers, right? Now, in the real world, you got to pay attention to that, but that's not this platform, okay? It's not this platform here. The second, well, let me see. What you all can do, though, is if you're going to speak, you can use your phone to log in as the microphone, I mean, and that will stop you from having that problem. But don't worry about it, don't you? That's going to be the last time it was mentioned, right, everybody? Right? Nod your head. Good. Second thing I want to mention, because I'm not sure if anyone, maybe Phil and Susan will point out, but she did something that has not been done before, and she made me up her score a little bit. I had no choice. She revealed her theme towards the end. It was towards the end. She did a 20-minute setup. Teased it about 17 minutes in and revealed it at 22 minutes and something. I wrote it down. Yeah, 22 minutes in. She revealed. What was her theme, someone?
A little extra effort.
All right. That was her theme right there. She revealed it. At least that's what the theme that came across. So if Gray says it, that's the theme that came across. I just want to point out, and it's the last thing I'll say for the whole night. I just want to point out that is a very different tactic. There's professional words for it, but you have basically you got two ways. Every way we've said thus far is to speak, tell us what you're going to talk about, boom, get your theme up in the beginning. Everybody got me? You don't have to do that. And the reason why she didn't do that, I don't know if you did this on purpose or don't you, but I can tell you why she did. It wouldn't have flowed with a keynote, because you were not supposed to know if she made it to 26.2 miles.
Hey, Antonio.
Hey, go ahead, Phil. Jump in there.
Yeah, she did at the beginning tell us that was her thing, to go the extra, to a little bit extra effort, and she even made a physical gesture with her hands to tell us that.
Oh, I missed it. Yeah, okay. That's why we got three judges.
Yeah, she said, I'm going to take you on a journey, and I'm going to help you understand the power. I don't know if this isn't verbatim. And then she even held her hand up and said, a little extra effort. So she did actually do that at the beginning.
She did. Okay, good stuff. Well, see, that's beautiful, right? So she did it. But either way, that wouldn't have been wrong. But hold on, stay on the mic, Phil, because that's actually fantastic. Because he caught it, right? But I didn't. I didn't. Maybe I was funneling with my typing her introduction or something, right? Because I'm typing and listening at the same time. But that's really, really good that Phil remembered all of those details. And I don't know if y'all caught it, but while he was saying it, I don't know if y'all saw Jerome going, no. He was doing the gestures. He was the hand gestures for Phil while he was talking. So I know it's true, right? I know it's true. Fantastic. Really, really, I really can't wait to hear what Phil and Susan I'm going to say, because it's going to be pretty, pretty cool. But that was I'm telling you, that was with all the, it wasn't that much breaking up, but you know, with it happening and still we caught that, that's fantastic. That was absolutely fantastic. You see why you're the president. We need to steal you from California and bring you over here to where houses are inexpensive. There we go. Good stuff. I just want to point out those two things. There was one more, but it doesn't matter, because I like Tuesdays to be the Phil and Susan show. That being said, I'm done. Piers, let her have what you have for her.
Miss Adanya, you did absolutely amazing. A while ago, Antonio had us read a book called Principles. And in reading that book and understanding what principles are, in the process of you speaking, I went into my personal principles and added just a little extra effort every day. So thank you so much, because as you were going through, I was like, oh, that is wonderful. So you did an amazing job, Ms. Adanya, an absolutely amazing job.
Thank you.
Ditto.
Keep going. There you go. Go ahead.
I agree with that 100%. First of all, let me say to you, Antonio, you are not taking Adonia from California. No way, no how. That's not going to happen. So forget about that. But Adonia, excellent. The truth is that just the way you set it up, I was thinking from the very beginning, she finished. She finished. Mm. But the good part about it is I still thought, well, maybe she didn't. Maybe she got halfway through it and she reached her own personal goal. And then I thought, well, maybe up the hill, you know, this is what I really thought. I thought that because this happens in a marathon, not that I ran one, I've heard it, that you can get, and then you get a charley horse or something like that, and then you get knocked out and blah, blah, blah. But what I learned was this, and then I thought you were going to pick up from there. So it was really good in the way of telling the story and certainly the confidence that and how you delivered it was amazing as well. So great job. I look forward to hearing from you in the future in California.
Touche, sir. Touche. Law.
Adania, Adania, Adania. How are you? You look fabulous. It was an awesome keynote. You really had me on the edge of my seat, which I loved and valued so much. The way that you set it up, and although you always said that you're a little bit overwhelmed at times, I didn't feel that. The poise was there. It was just confidence. It just was just rolling out the way that you delivered it. And I was rooting for you in that marathon. I thought, you know, maybe the bus was going to come up and they was going to try to throw you in there, but you was going to throw some blows and you was going to make it either way. But I was rooting for you. I'm like, she got to finish it. She got to finish it. But I just, see, there you go. I loved it. It was awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now I know what a president looks like. All right.
Thank you.
Vaccine. Sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. Vaccine.
Yes.
Now, you hold on. Wait a minute. You know he for the blessing, okay? You know Vaccine for the blessing. Whatever he about to say, it's going all the way to heaven. You know that, okay? Go ahead, Vaccine.
I don't know about that, Antonio, but the race is not given to the swift, but to he that endure, you know? Mm. I want to tell you, Andonia, I was really fascinated with the way you delivered. I even felt physically worn the way you described how your body was, you know, doing its natural things. I've never run a marathon, but when you mentioned the opposition that you were up against, the Kenyans who generally win every long distance race in the world, but you gave us a little laughter, you know, when you gave us the hip movement. It looked really good on stage. So if that's what's going to take us higher, then you took me high. And then you brought me back to the pavement again. Thank you very much. Wonderful.
Good job. Good job. Good job. They laughing over here. Good job. All right. Chris, I'm going to pick on you. You put your video up. Come on, let me hear from you. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think you got a mic. Or maybe you just got your phone muted. You could have just have your phone muted. Not your video, but your actual phone.
Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
All right, cool. All right, just wanted to say this. Like, I love the story of how you brought everything into place because you were showing the journey of overcoming adversity and your own kind of self-doubt because, you know, when you're going through the journey, in your own kind of life, and your journey was actually the marathon. You had the self-doubt coming in, you were battling against yourself and things like that, but you persevered. And I loved how you were like showing your emotions and like the steps in the process of just encouraging yourself to keep going and going and going. And those are life learning steps that we can apply to everyday life as well. So great job with putting everything into place and loved it.
Thank you.
Outstanding. Let's get one more because I'm sure Phil and Susan have some good meat to put on the bones. Let's see. Now I'm going to get somebody who don't normally talk. Brittany, can you talk? We just saw her on Facebook. I mean, on Sunday.
Hi.
She looked like her profile picture. There you go. Hey, LaBrittany.
Hi.
What's up? You know everybody don't, everybody don't look like their profile picture, right? She do. All right. Go ahead.
Well, I would say that your keynote was amazing and very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And you had such like great pace when you speak. So thank you for sharing your story, because it was very encouraging. And like when you said that you get up in the morning and you just add the little effort, the little extra effort, and like listening to something motivational or just like doing your homework for the ATS course, was, it spoke to me, because like sometimes I'd be like, oh man, like I don't have enough time to do this or do that, but I could do it like when I'm driving, I could do it like while I'm on lunch break. So that was very like helpful. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's sure, all, guys.
You. Thank you, Liv Brittany. Thank you. We look forward to hearing you speak. She's been doing a good job on a lot of videos, hasn't she? Sure has. Ladera wrote something. You want to talk? Can you talk? He probably praying for somebody. Was it Tuesday? No, Wednesday you got Bible study. He always praying for somebody, y'all. He's always doing some ministry somewhere. I ran it with you in my mind. With a bus at it. She used to come pick me up too. I do understand. He need the bus to come pick him up. You made it. He didn't. I am not mad at you. I'm gonna come on that at the very, very end. Phil, Susan, have your way.
Adonia, everything that was said by the group, I completely agree with. In the beginning when you started out, I love the introduction that was read. You've accomplished a lot and writing your book, and I don't really know what your book is about, and if that's something that you can tie in to your presentation as you grow in doing more of this. How much speaking have you done, and is this the main topic that you do?
I speak by nature just because of my job. I HR presentations and trainings, which I enjoy doing. So I'm not really a practice speaker per se, but one of the things about and about me saying just that little bit of effort is I gave up as a child and literally almost made the decision to end my life. And it had a lot to do with being bullied. I was always told I was too proper. I just never fit in. I'm relatively shy. And so I struggled. And I know that sounds like, why would somebody kill themselves for something like that? You would be surprised of the pain or the things that you tell yourself when someone says, oh, you think you're pretty, but you feel like you're ugly. Or, you know, for all the various things that I always got put in categories. I never knew where to fit. And so that's everything I have the option of choosing is always about just trying to lift someone up, because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for people like the Les Browns of the world and the people that I had in my ear, I might have ended my life.
Wow. Well, that right there, what you just said, can turn into a whole presentation. When you listen back on this and hear yourself on this, taking your book and your personal story as you build this theme of this presentation is really one story, and you can build that out with what you just shared with us and help a lot of people. You said you spoke to youth and the juveniles. That's a great start. You being in HR all these years, you know that companies have meetings all throughout the year. And, you know, you can start with youth and go on up, because your theme is for everyone. Your theme is definitely for everyone. You know, one thing that Phil and I do is suggestions for improvement. And I'll kind of start with that and then go through everything. Again, I like the introduction that was read about you and your credentials. And, you know, I wanted to hear what you had to say. I felt the beginning, I like that you said put a little effort and you told us directly what that was going to be. And I like that. I felt a little, the first 10 minutes, it was a little, I felt you may be a little bit nervous. I felt that for you. And and when you look back, you'll see that. And that happens, especially the setting that we're in right here. You're standing there, you know, and you're not getting audience engagement, and you know, speakers feed off of the audience. So that's a natural thing for this. And I felt the beginning was a little slow, and I felt it was lengthy getting into the story, because I'm like, okay, is this just a whole story about running, or what else is there? But I was on the edge of my seat starting at about 13 minutes on this running, because you were lively and you were really into it then. And I was going right along with you at that point. So you might look back on that and see, and Phil may have some other ideas on that. I really like the bus. That you know, I'm not getting on that bus. There's no way I'm getting on that bus. And looking back at the bus, that was important to you. There's no way. And that bus, the symbolism of the bus, which just kept you going. I love that. And that you were running for the Cancer Society, right? And what you were doing to help others.
Correct.
You were doing something to help others. And I also liked, you know, when you started dancing a little bit and having fun with it, even in the struggle, and how that helped you. I liked that you said in the close, the mountains climbed, dreams accomplished. I love that. And then that lives are saved with just a little effort. I mean, that right there, you can take that to all these type of nonprofits. Because, you know, part of what you were doing was helping an organization like that. So it's a speech that can be done at nonprofits and things like that. People that are, you know, trying to get funds for events and things. And you probably have more of that. And, you know, the American Cancer Society? Was that it?
It was actually the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society for cancer. I think I did say American in there somewhere, but it was Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
You can look online at when they have events and start out with those and then move on. What else?
I'm going to go off camera, but I'm listening because I got to jump in my car and get to my Toastmasters meeting, but I'm still listening, and I'm so grateful to everybody. Thank you.
Yes, and I'll one more thing, and then I'll let Phil speak. I really liked, too, because your audience tonight, and I really like that you tied in the audience that you're speaking to, and that can be with whatever audience that is, that you talked about the ATS University and what that's done for you and that what that means to you. And I really got a lot out of that with just a little extra effort on your morning routine and turning off the TV and no radio and when you were walking. And I just thought you are just an amazing lady to do that, to fit that extra time in with what all you do in your life. And I was very impressed with that. And then your ending, I truly loved, you know, with just a little extra effort, and then your John Maxwell quote, and then your ready, set, go. That was great.
Thank you so much, Susan.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to change some of my habits. My whole philosophy that I tell people, and I live by this every day, is inch by inch, anything's a cinch. So if I just, and by the yard, it's hard. So if you just do a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, then the next day it's easier, and the next day it's easier. And before you know it, you've accomplished what you want to accomplish. So I really related to all of it. Hey, Phil, it's your turn.
All right. Thank you. Great job. You have been, you can tell that you really care. Your introduction was great. I'd like to see it be a little bit shorter. Of course, my favorite introduction is if this guy's any good, let's get him up here. If he's not, let's get this over with. That's my favorite introduction. But I don't even use that because the audience deserves more, you know. And I like what you said. I just think it could be a little bit shorter. But I like you having your purpose at the end. This is my purpose, and this is why I exist here on this physical plane at this particular time in the time continuum. And it's good that we know who's standing in front of us is that's what he or she is all about. I love it. It says, I'm going to take you on a journey. I'm going to encourage you. Imagine what you can accomplish with just a little bit of effort. The marathon story. Now, maybe I'm a little prejudiced. I've run in 4 marathons. Now, don't get me wrong with my timing. By the time I finish, the winners have showered, eaten, and made love with their spouse. And I'm still running. So
that was me.
So don't think I'm trying to impress you, but maybe just from my own personal point of view, the marathon story could have been shortened and then embellished more at the end about what you've gotten out of, whether it's ATS or whoever you're in front of, if you can tie back to getting them to relate. And that way the audience would say, hey, if she can do this, I can do this, because that's what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to get people to understand that you've got some information for them. And if they really make it part of their lives and implement these ideas, they'll improve their life. And if you continue to do that, and that's what you are doing, then you'll create a critical mass behind you of people that will say, you got to get Adonia in. I listened to her and I did this and I have a better life. You got to bring her into your organization. That's how you build a critical mass. You had some humor in there, and I would like to have you, when you hit it, you smile. Like you talked about way back when, and he could have smiled and winked at us, or when we were way in the back of the, we were in the back, and I'm not going to tell you how far back, and smiled and winked at us. I would smile more and come with a little bit lighted heart. You got in that with the hip shake and the dancing. You almost transformed when you did that. It was like there was a new person in front of me, because she's finally letting go. She's finally letting the thing happen. Whether it was while you were running and heard the rock and roll bands, or whether at the end when you were doing that. The bus idea, you might want to say, and what's your bus? What's going on in your life that you don't want to get on that bus, and that's something that can keep you going? Because the little extra efforts, they could be motivated by a positive, or even the little extra efforts can be motivated by a negative. Your pacing was very good. You weren't in a hurry. You were very casual in how you talked. Now, I would have liked to have seen you, and again, I'm not right all the time because I'm just a male. I would have liked to have you be a little bit faster and then be a little bit slower. I every week it seems like I mention this, and I have to work on it too. It's called vocal variety, because that would keeps us guessing and keeps us engaged. Your enthusiasm was great. Your eye contact was exceptional. And again, your message was, you can accomplish whatever you want to accomplish if you're just willing to go a little bit of extra effort. That's the habit of going the extra mile, if we want to quote Think and Grow Rich. Joel Weldon talks about, he'll ask his audiences, and you can use this if you quote Joel. He says, how many of you ever been bitten by an elephant? How many of you have bitten by a lion? How many of you have bitten by a dog? Who's ever been bitten by a cat? And who's ever been stung by a bee? See, it's the little things that get you. And you can use that as a way to talk about a lot of things in life. It's the little things that either gets us or not gets us. So that's part of your message. When you got into what ATS has meant to you, I would have liked to have seen less of the marathon story and more of the, okay, here's what I'm using out of real life. Because the marathon story was a setup to let us understand how important it is. And then when you started getting into what ATS has meant to you, you start to get into the real practical information, the stuff that, again, we could take back and use and say, you know, I can get up in the morning a little bit better, and I can make sure that I can turn my TV time into self-improvement time, and I can do this and I can do that. And that's really the whole purpose of what you're trying to accomplish there. I guess that's about it. You're going to truly make a difference on this planet. And just continue to do what you're doing, and then get a little bit better to yourself. Imagine with just a little bit more effort, how much more can you accomplish?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard from our two esteemed, they're more than judges. We'll say judges. They are panel experts. Fantastic four. It's just two of them, though. But you get it, right? They're pretty good. They're outstanding. I agree to everything that was said, Adonia. And I had to, you know, you accidentally made me go back and be objective. I don't know. Look, I'm just pause real quick. Give me 2 minutes, and then we'll be done. But in the office, they say Vince looked like a preacher getting his bio read right now. That background so cold. <They're> like he about to get up there and preach a fire sermon. Good stuff. No, you did a good job. I have nothing to say, but one thing that just for all of you, so you can keep doing it. I had to go back and ask because I had Adonia running at like a 3.5, well, half a point under perfection, but half a point. I had dinged her for something. The same thing Susan said. I dinged her for the beginning of her. I had dinged her for the beginning of a keynote. I totally agree with Susan that it's the 10 minutes. It's about 10 and a half minutes to where she loosened up and them shoulders and the hips start moving. You know, you understand what I'm saying. And of course, you know, it's very hard to feed off of that. But that's, she forced me to pick up her score. I'm going to tell you right now, I gave her a perfect score. Okay. She forced me. Because I had, yes. I had to ask myself. Now, of course, I'm grading this. The first round easy. That's not a takeaway from anyone who's got a perfect score or something. But and Jerome's got like right under that. But that's not what if she forced me, and I'm gonna say this, I'm saying this for you speakers. I had to ask myself, well, what's the point of a keynote? Is it for me to nitpick? Is it for, you know, all the stuff that we bring out? I'm like, no. The point of a keynote is to bring across a message, right? Like, that's the point of a keynote. And I'm telling you, Jerome probably had the very best of everyone character story. Not the whole story. Mr. Posey, I still remember his name, is probably the best stories, I mean, best character so far that was brought out. Leroy made us relate to his mother's probably the best. You've got a tie between Deanna and the way she made the whole keynote transformational. I mean, it's just been some really, really, really good stuff that has happened. But the very best message, story, keynote, Adonia. Hands down. Hands down.
Wow. Thank you.
Hands down.
Wow.
Because, and she, you know, vocal variety aside, all this stuff. I'm not even talking about the how she quickened the voice, how she didn't, because she did quicken the voice some of the miles. I'm talking about how from start to finish, that story was told with no meat on the bones left. You know, she could have did all that, you know, other, everything Phil said, everything Susan said. I agree with both of them, especially what Susan said at the beginning. But I'm talking about the actual story forced me to go back and say, hey, remember you how you got everybody compared and this and that? Well, has anyone told a better story? And I had to say no. Characters, yes. Part of a story, yes. But no one has made me say, you better get this van off me. Right? You get what I'm saying? Good job. That's it. I don't want to say nothing else. Just wanted to point it out. And the only reason I'm pointing it out because I want you all to know that you can score high in many different ways. It's teachable, right? Every time Phil, Susan, y'all are clearly getting better from learning from other people. That's clear. That's very clear. Well, that's it for all I have to say. I haven't told anyone. I want to make a lot of enhancements, benefits, and features. I'm kind of waiting to a couple of months in October to roll them out at our conference. okay, at our conference, we're going to roll it out. Please know that the future is super bright for the Bureau of Dominant Speakers. There's a lot going on. I'm telling y'all right now, I'm working out one detail that y'all, that no one knows. Phil, Susan, Tempest, they don't know. I'm working out one detail because I really want you all to see the genius of Phil and Susan. I mean, they've run bureaus a long time, okay? And well, we just call them bureaus, but they've done this a long time, and I really want you to see the, what's the detail. I really want you to see some of that stuff that they're going to be doing here. I haven't even talked to them yet, but there is a detail that I haven't ironed out that has nothing. It's a logistical detail that I want to iron out first, but please be ready to see plenty of Phil and Susan and some of your peers. That's all I'm gonna say. You'll see more of it coming, but please know some of your peers will have active roles in the Bureau, especially if you MC in the conference. But I ain't talking about nothing at all. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the Bureau of Dominant Speaking. We do appreciate you. Be on the lookout for Phil and Susan to show you how great they are on a regular basis. We love you and love you more, as according to Phil and Susan said it. You can't plan better. You can't dominate. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Way to go, Adonia.
You should really be famous for every tear you've ever cried, for everything that's ever happened to you, for all the abuse you've ever been through, for the divorce you've ever been through. You should absolutely be famous for that. Yeah, that's how I think. As a matter of fact, that's how most of us great motivational speakers or platform speakers, we are. I speak over 400 times a year. I command over $40,000 a keynote. $40,000 a keynote. I can make $30,000 in 30 minutes. All because my story was one of tragedy. And I've learned how to take it to one of great wealth. I want to teach you that. I want to give to you free. No risk, no charge, no credit card needed. Free 20 hours of how to get famous for telling your story. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can plan better. You can dominate. I'm not sure if you already know this, but you're already absolutely perfect. You're already absolutely great. And you're already living in massive abundance. The most important things that you have is not what you have. It's not what you do. It's what you know. Because the people who do know what you need to know to leave the middle class, they're in the top 1%, and they control 96% of the world's income. 97% of this world is trading time for money, and that is not the way to become rich, it's not the way to become wealthy, and it is absolutely not the way to leave the middle class. There are 7.8 billion people in the world right now, and they all want to learn how to make money and how to leave the middle class. But the way to become a master at anything is to learn all the rules and then bend them to your favor. Right now in this world, there are 2,057 billionaires. Right now. So if you think becoming a billionaire is possible, that's 2,057 people that have already proved that impossibility incorrect. And if you think that's crazy, there are 46.8 million millionaires in the world, worldwide right now. Now think about that. 46.8 million millionaires, and that number grows 1,730 millionaires every single day. Money is everywhere. You don't need to max out your credit cards. You don't need to borrow from granddad and grandma. Just look behind me. Look at all the wealth sitting behind me in this junkyard. It's insane how much money is everywhere, and you don't need to go out there and beg, borrow, and steal to get it. You just need to know the rules of making money and how to leave the middle class. Essentially, all you need to know is the algorithm of making money, the rules of making money. All you need to know is what to do and how to do it, and you can leave the middle class. Any industry, yoga, golf, underwater basket weaving, clipping fingernails, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is know how to do it, how to get it done, and then find somebody to teach you how to do it, how to get it done, and you will be able to leave the middle class. If you're not getting my point, it's real simple.
Whatever you have up here, as long as you understand the rules of leaving the middle class, as long as you understand how to get money, you can take what's up here and get wealthy from what you already have. Right now, the very thing you know up here is already being searched 1,000 times a second on Google. Someone right now, actually 1,730 people right now, are gonna become a millionaire from the stuff that you have in your head. Why can't this be you? I mean, it's 1,730 people with your ideas that are no better than you, that are gonna leave the middle class, become a millionaire. Why are you not next? So how do we do this? How do we take what you know and apply it to objective money-making secrets and then allow you to leave the middle class? How do we take you from where you are and let you escape to where you wanna go? So how do we make all this money, or take all this knowledge from the Warren Buffers, from Elon Musk? How do we take everything that everyone before you has done, and how do we take all of that and then put it in your head so you can leave a legacy for your family? My name is Antonio T. Smith Jr. 32 years ago, I lived in a trash can. That's right, from 6 to 14, I had no running water, no electricity, no anything, and somehow I'm in the top 1% today. Not because I had the right background, not because I had a silver spoon in my mouth, simply because being homeless made me learn how to make money. I retired when I was 29 years old. I'm more than likely younger than you. I'm one of the top 1% income earners in one of the richest countries in the world. What I learned how to do when I was 6 years old was learn how to generate enough money to eat some cookies so I wouldn't die to death from starvation. From there, I learned how to go from cookies to a meal. From a meal to clothes to shelter to everything else that supplied my necessary needs. When I was 6, I was forced to learn how to make money, and now that's what I'm gonna do and help you do. I've seen amazing results. I have my own economy, I've homeschooled my own children, and I wrote a book that teaches you every single thing that I know about making money, every single thing that other people know about making money, and most importantly, all the stuff that we don't tell you. Because the truth is, and you know it like I know it, the most honest, the most hardworking, unselfish people on planet Earth live in the middle class. Yet, your honesty, your unselfishness, your devout religion-going self is not enough to get to the top 1%, and that's not fair. The second half of my life has been not about how much money I make, but how I will be remembered from all the money that I have made. And I've been trying to teach everybody how to get out the middle class. I'm the crazy guy, famous on the internet for trying to create 100,000 millionaires. I've created 8 so far. I got a 9th one on the way, all the way from India. That's pretty cool. And what I want to tell you is something very simple. It's been hard. It's been absolutely hard to help people leave the middle class, not because of the people, because the system would rather keep you being someone else's money instead of you having your own economy and having the money come fine and flow to you. It was frustrating because I knew that anybody can make money. And if you knew what I knew, you would change your life. Over the last few years, I've built a large following of over 500,000 people every month that pay me to actually, for me, to give them advice. Well, that's been exciting for me. And the cool thing is, I've created thousands of six-figure earners. I've created millionaires. I've created people who can live their dreams and hold on to their legacies. And now my eyes are on you to create you to what you need to be great. I have been teaching my principles and these principles to hundreds of thousands of people around the world, every country, all continents, and anyone who has taken them seriously, written them down, and applied them have a 100% success rate of leaving the middle class. I've taught these secrets to my following and my inner network, and I've watched them go from 4 figures to 5 figures, 5 figures to 6 figures, 7 figures, all the way to 8. Everything that I've ever learned, everything I've ever learned from millionaire mentors, billionaire mentors, and everything I learned from being homeless, and everything that got me into the top 1%, I have placed inside of a book. To date, it is the longest book that I've ever written, the most best book that I've ever written, and that book is called The Richest Man and the Trash Can, and I'm offering it to you today for free. This book is gonna show you how to become wealthy into the top 1% and leave the middle class. This book is gonna give you a step-by-step plan if you're 30 years old, all the way to 70 years old, how to get into the top 1%. If you're a teenager, how to get to the top 1%. If you're a millennial, how to get to the top 1%. It's gonna teach you how to make six figures immediately, teach you how to get to $1 million immediately, and all that good stuff. Plus, I'm gonna give you the 36 objective laws of leaving the middle class. Plus, I'm gonna give you every last one of my secrets that have made me rich. You have to understand that leaving the middle class is the most important fight that you're gonna have in your life. Let me be honest with you, and you can kind of relate to this. It almost takes $450,000 a year just to be broke in America. And that's just in America. If you don't leave the middle class, which is actually an illusion, then you are gonna have a really hard time. Think about it for a second. Most of you are gonna be watching this are gonna be baby boomers, and you've been sold a bad check. They lied to you. Your retirement was not enough for you to live comfortable, and I'm gonna give you this book for free so you can figure out how to triple your retirement and then quadruple your retirement, and then, as Grant Cardone would say, 10x your retirement so you can live the life that's worthy of you. I want you to remember that leaving the middle class is the most important battle that you could ever face in your entire life, especially for your family. So consider this video, this book, your friendly tap on the shoulder. I want to send you a free copy of this book because I believe that abundance is your birthright. I believe that abundance is freedom. And I believe that this book is right for you. In fact, I believe in that so much that I will send you the book for free. All you have to do is cover the cost of shipping. I'll eat the cost. I'll take the loss. And all you have to do is get the book and dominate your reality right now and apply the principles so you can be the best person for your life that is yours. Fill out the form sitting right there to the right. Go ahead, dominate your reality. I can't wait to send you my book. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to have you as someone that's been on the journey with me. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can plan better. You can dominate.
When the pandemic began, I had the biggest problem in the world. Not making money. The pandemic was actually quite a blessing for me, as it almost made me a billionaire. I came really close. So the pandemic was a blessing. It was hiring people. And get this, everybody. I had 48 job positions open during the pandemic. $22 an hour with paid training. And I could not find a single person for 2 years to fit any of those 48 job positions. Hear me well. 48 job positions, $22 an hour, paid training, and I couldn't find someone, not one person, for those job positions. Now, is it because I hire slowly? True. But it's because I wasn't using ZipRecruiter, and that's a fact. I wasn't getting to the right people for the right position to fit my right culture. And there are so many different things that you can do this summer. As a matter of fact, you can free up as much time as you want to. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're probably not going to free up that time if you're attempting to hire people. So what is ZipRecruiter? What is probably the greatest job finder that's out there? And that's why you need ZipRecruiter. You need it so you can find the right candidates. Now, it's not that ZipRecruiter helps you find jobs. It's more accurately that ZipRecruiter takes your culture, takes your job, takes what you're looking for, and immediately matches them with the perfect candidate. And if they can't find a perfect candidate, they will skip over that person and then give you the perfect candidate for you. ZipRecruiter uses one of its most powerful tools, which is the technology itself, to match the right candidates up with your job. You can easily review their recommendations and easily review their recommended candidates and invite these candidates to apply for your top positions. Additionally, ZipRecruiter has a complete suite of tools that makes it easy for you to filter out, review, and rate candidates. 4 out of 5 employees have been used by 4 out of 5 employers on ZipRecruiter. It is a blessing. And no wonder ZipRecruiter is rated #1 hiring site in the world based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of this year, January 1st. My friends, soak up everything I said. It's not an ad. This is a personal testimony of how I found the right people to sit in the right seat on the right bus. Without ZipRecruiter, it wouldn't have been possible. So how do you take advantage of what I'm talking about? Well, you go to ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. All spelled the regular way. That's Zip, Z-I-P, Recruiter, R-E-C-R-U-I-T-E-R. ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. And I promise you, you will be grateful that you did so. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. It's also in the show notes.